Alpha Twos is the only miracle story found in all four Gospels. The narrative actually contains two stories, the feeding of the 5,000 and Jesus walking on water, which is also in Matthew and Mark's account. Unlike the three synoptic Gospels, the Gospel of John is written to establish Jesus' Christology, and the narrative follows that theology. Today's Gospel stories are linked, but they may begin to peel back to answer the question, who is Jesus? The answer to Jesus comes through the people who need Jesus, first the crowd, and then the disciples. The needs create expectations, encounters, and interpretations. It happens for them, and it happens for us now as we become part of this narrative. The crossing of the sea and the crowds are important because it sets the stage for our encounter with Jesus. Again, the crowds are following Jesus because they saw him perform signs. In the past few weeks, we've heard of Jesus' miracles in Mark. The healing of the Gentile woman who just wanted to touch Jesus' cloak to be healed. The resurrection of Jairus' daughter from death. Also in John, in the two earlier chapters, there are earlier signs of Jesus healing an official's son and the man by the pool. These are impressive acts that create anticipation for what is to come and is part of the expectations of the crowd. Jesus and the disciples head up the mountain and sit down. A large crowd is following their path. Only in the Gospel of John does the story tell us that the feeding of the multitudes occurs at a certain time of year, that the feast of Passover is approaching. Jesus notices the oncoming crowd, who are probably hungry, tired, and Jesus asks Philip a simple rhetorical question. Where will we buy bread for these people to eat? Philip's response is basically, we don't have those resources for that purchase. Even if we use a day's wages, people would only get a morsel. Then another apostle, Andrew. Look, here's a young boy with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. Andrew's response may be reference to the scantiness of what is available. Or it's just a simple recognition of what is immediately available. We don't know. What we do know is that Jesus uses what is available. Jesus gives directions to the disciples for the 5,000 to sit on the grass. Jesus gives thanks over the loaves. And the miracle happens. There is enough food to satisfy the hunger of the crowd and to have 12 baskets of leftover bread. To the people gathered, Jesus is a prophet who has come into the world. And this is not the first time that Jesus was recognized as a prophet. The woman at the well also called Jesus a prophet. The crowd encounters Jesus. They expected something, and they got a miracle. And now the people want more, a king. So Jesus retreats back up the mountain. This miracle is similar to the story from the Old Testament reading for today that involves Elijah. Both stories have a similar cycle, the cycle of need, faith, and a miracle. Elijah has a need to feed his following of over 100 men. And a single Canaanite man offers the hospitality of 20 loaves of barley bread. And Elijah offers this hospitality to the larger group. Elijah commands his servant to serve the bread because he has faith in the Lord's promise that there would be more than enough. And a miracle happens, and there was some left over. Elijah trusted in the Lord's promise, and his faith was enough to overcome the doubts of the servant. Here the prophet commanded the servant, and the servant's response was to obey, and God fulfilled the promise. Like Elijah, Jesus uses barley loaves and performs a miracle where there is enough food and some is left over. In John's gospel, Jesus is demonstrating that he can perform a miracle and use his authority as God. This is the third sign in the Gospel of John that tells us who Jesus is. So I want to ask you a question. How many times have you felt a nudge from the Spirit or felt God calling you to respond to a need? And your response is to throw up barriers, like Philip. I know I do this pretty consistently. My path to seminary is similar to the familiar joke about the man who, when there's a flood, and he's sitting on top of a house, and there's water all around, and a rowboat comes by, and he doesn't get in it. A motorboat comes by, and he doesn't get in it. A helicopter comes by. Again, he refuses the help that's being provided to him. So he declines each opportunity, and when he dies, he's there with St. Peter, and St. Peter says, why did you decline the three opportunities to be saved? And the man's response is, I was waiting for God. Many of us want that bright yellow line, but God comes to us and other people. For me, God sent me pastors from a spiritual retreat. He sent me my friends. He sent me my own pastor. Not just once, but twice. I'm a little slow. But I ignored them, and I had my excuses. Are they kidding? Me be a pastor? Now's not the right time. Where will I find the money for seminary? Aren't I doing what I'm called to be doing by being a Stephen minister? I had a ton of excuses. And it was one simple encounter like that of Andrew's. My pastor was visiting my mother as she was dying. It was his last visit. And as he left, he said, it's your time. Wow. Not a lot of words, but it was certainly profound. My excuses and my doubts were over. And I found myself exploring the whisperings, the nudgings, and the shouts of the Spirit into ministry. The need I saw were the spiritual needs of the homeless and the disenfranchised. And I was being called to do something about that. I was reluctantly obedient. The first thing I did was meet with Bishop Mark, and he gave me about 10 things to follow up on. Some I thought were foolish, just like Elijah's servant. But I did them because a much wiser person than me advised me to do it. And I learned that there was a reason for each of the 10 things. I trusted, and God has helped me find a way. I'm now entering my third year of seminary, and God provided my husband an opportunity to start a business that now pays the tuition for seminary. I feel called to this work with those who are disenfranchised, and to my amazement, the seminary has a concentration in evangelism and justice, just what I want to do as a pastor. And this summer, I'm a chaplain at the medical center in Sacramento, and many of whom I have an opportunity to serve are homeless, and I get a chance to meet their spiritual needs. Where is God calling you to respond to need? We're experiencing great need in our communities, at this very time in history. There's opportunity to follow that calling, to make a difference within and outside our church community, and it's your response that makes miracles happen. Many within our church are facing serious illnesses or are caretakers of ill family members. Is the Spirit calling you to be of service to them by providing a meal? Maybe providing transportation, helping around their house, or maybe even giving them the much needed respite that they need. Usually at this time of year in our churches, we're beginning to think about Sunday school. Are you being called to be a teacher? There's also opportunities to help within our communities, at organizations such as food banks, schools, climate change groups, and the American Red Cross, which is responding to the fires that are raging here in Northern California. This is just to name a few of our opportunities. We've been fortunate that our churches have not been lost, but our brothers and sisters who live in these communities need our help. The bishop sent a communication saying that any money could be donated to Lutheran Social Services of Northern California or to the Red Cross. I know that Cal Fire many times does a drive for bottled water, and you can find that within your own local community. There's a need, and when we respond to the calling of the Spirit, a miracle is sure to happen. Just like in the gospel lesson, it's not just the stranger that needed a miracle, but those closest to Jesus who are scared and needed a miracle. When Jesus comes walking on the surface of the water towards his disciples, he is revealing that he is more than a prophet. He is Lord. He reveals this by responding to the disciples with the name that God gave to Moses, I am, the language of the divine presence. And the revelation as expressed in Exodus and Isaiah. Jesus brings abundance in the midst of human need. We are each recipients of this abundance through our relationship with Jesus' life-giving power. Like the crowds in John 6, we've been fed by God's grace, fed with God's mercy, and cared for with steadfast love. And like them, we often fail to see what is God doing among us. This divine presence means we find ourselves called, as disciples were, to feed the hungry, go into the world and make a difference, even if our resources are limited. Jesus comes to open our hearts and our hands to those around us. Amen.